The topic to this extemporaneous Mary Baker Eddy Institute prayer treatment is principle, motive for all thought, speech, and action. The introductory quotes to The Textbook of Christian Science by Mary Baker Eddy is 1. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Words of Jesus. 2. There is nothing, either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. 3. Oh, thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed. This is thy high behest, thou here and everywhere. Mary Baker Eddy. If we let these all-important quotes guide us, then our motive for all thought, speech, and action will be under the structure and system of principle. This recording will explore some of the avenues that we can utilize in order to guide us. On page 146 of the textbook is a thought-provoking statement by Mary Baker Eddy as follows. Divine metaphysics is now reduced to a system, to a form comprehensible by and adapted to the thought of the age in which we live. This system enables the learner to demonstrate the divine principle upon which Jesus' healing was based, and the sacred rules for its present application to the cure of disease. On page 330, she makes this further statement on the same topic. When the 32 planks of the platform is understood, and the letter and the spirit bear witness, the infallibility of divine metaphysics will be demonstrated. Pages 330 through page 340 provides those 32 topics which comprise the platform. Contemplate this for a moment. Mary Baker Eddy has not only been the very first individual to be able to define God in absolute terms, but also she has given us a system and a structure and a platform to stand on to open up the doorway to the infinite. A popular image of Jesus is him standing in his seamless robe knocking on a door. That is a symbol of knocking on our door of consciousness. Are we going to let the Christ consciousness be our consciousness, the God consciousness? Jesus was not God. He was a man, the best man that ever trod the globe. But he himself says he's not God. When he was asked by a Pharisee a particular question, and they addressed him as Master, good Master, they said, good Master, and then asked the question. And he said, why call thou me good? There is only one good, and that is God. Mary Baker Eddy defines good in the glossary as God, Spirit, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, omniaction. And omni means one, only, and all. No competition and no opposition. God is the only thing that exists, which of course includes his manifestation, which is all existence. In Genesis chapter 1, beginning with verse 26, it states as follows, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And in verse 31 it says, And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. On page 591 of the textbook, on page 591, Mary Baker Eddy gives us the short version of this when she defines man, the compound idea of infinite spirit, the spiritual image and likeness of God, the full representation of mind. And she defines mind as follows. The only I, or us, the only spirit, soul, divine principle, substance, life, truth, love, the one God. Not that which is in man, but the divine principle, or God, of whom man is the full and perfect expression. Deity, which outlines, but is not outlined. And she defines man as the full expression of mind, not in quantity, but in quality. Man is a generic name that includes everyone. So an individual man could not possibly express infinity in quantity, but can certainly express every single quality of God. And that is our mission. We are not automatically the full expression of mind unless we are letting all thought, speech, and action be on that path of infinite progression, striving for concrete being. That's another phrase from Mary Baker Eddy. Do not think that any great amount of progress is required every single moment or any other time frame. Because Mary Baker Eddy, at the beginning of chapter 14, quotes Isaiah, and 14 is a summary of 1 to 13. It's entitled Recapitulation, and she provides the quote from Isaiah that says, Precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Habakkuk reminds us that if we're going to be the reflection of God, we better remember that God is of purer eyes than to behold evil. Throughout the textbook, it is emphasized that we must never attach evil to any person, place, or thing. It is only a suggestion and can only have a residence in our thought if we accept it. Universal belief is a constant threat to purity. So we must include universal belief as something that we will not accept. We must expose it, eradicate it, so that we can focus on the perfection that is already inherent in consciousness. The only real consciousness man has is the consciousness of God, the same consciousness that Christ Jesus reflected. That's why it is commonly called the Christ consciousness, or the God consciousness. He reflected the God consciousness, and we name it the Christ consciousness. But we must not make the mistake by calling Jesus God, as has already been covered in an earlier part of this recording. Helen Wright is the founder of the Mary Baker Eddy Institute. The Institute is in its 37th year, being founded in 1988 and having one of the earliest websites on the internet. Her final publication was Your Divinity Revealed. In it, she has allocated 7 of its chapters to each of the 7 synonymous terms. And the series of 7 chapters within the textbook begins chapter 4 with mind. And chapter 7 is principle, which of course is the first key word of this particular prayer treatment. What does she say as an introduction about principle? Science interprets the principle. Principle must be stated accurately in its science. Principle is the principle of all sciences. Principle interprets itself through its system of categories, classifications, and self-operating calculus. Principle explains itself by interpreting itself. Principle is always working as a self-operating principle. Principle proves itself through a system of ideas and interrelationships. Principle unites all into one through relationship, bringing all into relationship with principle. Mathematics is a science. It has 10 digits. It has 4 operators: add, subtract, multiply, and divide. And it has multiple levels. But it all operates under divine principle, which is God. Every science that is really a true science operates under the divine principle, God. If we vary from the laws that have been established in any particular science, we will not come up with the correct answer from the calculus. And therefore, we are outside of the science in which we think we are working. That's why truth is so important. The first quote in the textbook, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Free of any ignorance, free of any mistakes, free of any deviation of the laws of the science, which operate under principle." One of the features of truth is motive. Another one is consciousness. If we do not abide by the God consciousness, then we are going to be deviating from truth. We are going to have a motive that is not pure, and therefore we are outside the realm of God. As Habakkuk reminds us, God's eyes are too pure to behold evil. Evil is anything that is ungodlike. Any dilution in any minuscule amount turns purity into evil, impurity, mistakes, error, a lie instead of truth. What should be our motive if we are engaged in a relationship with someone else? Jesus was asked, "What is the greatest commandment of all?" His response was to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And the second is like unto it: love your neighbor as yourself. He knew that you could not love God, which is invisible, unless you love God's manifestation. And at the head of God's manifestation, God appointed man, you and me. But only if we are following the laws of God. If we don't follow the laws of God, we are outside the realm of God. Instead of being spiritual in our reflection, we are unlike spirit. Anything unlike spirit is evil, just like anything unlike love is hate. Anything unlike divine immortal mind is mortal mind, which is a false sense of mind. One of the many beauties of divine metaphysics is that Mary Baker Eddy is very definitive in her statements. Now, there are four levels of Christian Science, just like there are several levels in mathematics. And the levels in Christian Science are explained on pages 115 and 116. There are three levels of mortal mind and one of immortal mind. And you can look those up, which we have a link to it on the website. But basically, the highest level is immortal mind, which is God, idea, man. And the lowest level is depravity, which is all the worst evils one could imagine. And we need to work our way out of that kind of a frame of reference and focus on the top level. But we must do it, as Isaiah says, precept upon precept, and so forth, a step at a time. Genesis 2 begins with a statement, must be understood, and therefore clearly states why we should refute any suggestion that evil is real. A common belief is that man was born a sinner. You and me. Everyone. But where did that come from? What is the first thought that is provided in Genesis chapter 2? Now remember, this follows Genesis chapter 1 that was quoted as saying, and everything that God made is very good. And Mary Baker Eddy interprets Genesis chapter 1 as not being a creation, but a revelation. Because truth is always true, whether we are aware of it or not. So there is nothing that has ever been created. An invention is not something new. Frederick L. Rawson, a very genius of a Christian Scientist, stated that anything that appears to be new is only a rearrangement of various facets of truth that is in a different order of arrangement than what one has been aware of previously. And what does the Bible say? It says there is nothing new under the sun. Check out Ecclesiastes 1, verse 9. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Mary Baker Eddy is the only one I know of that has put that all together and connected the dots. When she says, Genesis 1, where it says, in the beginning, she's saying it means in the only. No beginning. There can't be any beginning to truth. The symbol of truth is a circle. No beginning and no end. The truth to God. A circle. A truth to mind, spirit, soul, life, truth, and love, as well as principle. A circle. No beginning and no end. The only thing we are looking at that maybe make us believe that there's a beginning or an end is that we're looking at only one small segment of what is already true, always has been true. Or maybe we're looking at evil, which is a lie. In that case, it was never in existence. It is only a false view of truth, a false view of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. That is symbolized in the second chapter of Genesis, after it says, there went up a mist. Can we see clearly if we're in a mist? Well, that's what happened to Adam and Eve. It was all in a mist. What are we going to believe? Where it says God made everything very good? Or are we going to believe the story of Adam and Eve looking through a mist in order to even be able to look at it? I've been in a fog so thick that if you hold your hand in front of your face, you couldn't see your hand. If we're going to have an effective prayer treatment for ourselves or anyone else, we need to stick to absolute statements of truth out of the Bible and out of Science and Health and Mary Baker Eddy's other writings and the writings of any other expert Christian scientist that is sticking exactly to the truth of what was revealed in the Bible and Mary Baker Eddy's writings, or we're going to be off track. And everyone has to work out their own salvation. So meeting with other Christian scientists to discuss the meaning of something is a mistake. Mary Baker Eddy made that clear to her household when occasionally one of them would want to attend the church in Concord. The Mary Baker Eddy Institute website feels that understanding the true definition of church is so important that it is stated at the top of every single page of our website in the header. It reads, Church, the structure of truth and love, whatever rests upon and proceeds from divine principle. The church is that institution which affords proof of its utility and is found elevating the race, rousing the dormant understanding from material beliefs to the apprehension of spiritual ideas and the demonstration of divine science, thereby casting out devils or error and healing the sick. Refer to sickness as being anything that is unlike God. God is perfection. Anything that is less than perfection is sickness. It could be in the form of sin, disease, or death. But it's believing in something that is imperfect, and therefore it could all be classified as sickness. Nikola Tesla, one of the greatest engineers and inventors of all time, said that sickness indicates there is something sick within oneself. In other words, the thinking wasn't guarded, as Shakespeare reminds us. There is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. Are we contemplating on anything less than perfection? Is anything in our motive providing a calculus of a deviation in thought, speech, or action that is different than what Genesis chapter 1 says that God revealed to the world about man, that everything is good, in fact, very good? And of course, all the definitions that were read out of the textbook agrees and aligns with what is in the Bible completely. The four operators in divine metaphysics are the Word, Christ, Christianity, and science. And you can get details on that from the website. Frederick L. Rawson gave us a treasure of writings which are wonderful tools to aid in healing. And of course, what we're really looking for is advancing our spiritual understanding, because healing is a product of the calculus that is involved and applied in order to advance our spiritual understanding. And the reference to which is being referred to at the moment is entitled Treatment or Healing by True Prayer. There's a chapter entitled Applied Treatment, and it includes 1,315 ailments as described by the materialistic viewpoint. And immediately after a very short description, it provides the exact spiritual solution to solve the problem. And that's exactly what Mary Baker Eddy states. She says we must find the problem, deny that it has any power, and then devote our effort to explaining it away with the truth. And that's exactly the pattern that is followed in the book in the chapter called Applied Treatment. Now, by all means, it is highly suggested by Mr. Rothen himself that you do not read that chapter as if it was an instruction on spiritual advancement or healing, except for what exactly applies to any problem you may be dealing with. Otherwise, you're going to be embedding in your thought up to 1,315 problems. Is that what you want your consciousness to be occupied with? Because that's what's going to happen if you study that chapter from beginning to end, instead of focusing only on what might be a situation that you are trying to resolve at the present time. Mr. Rawson was so advanced that he actually overcame the belief of time. And he explains in his writings about healing back in time. That again is such an important topic that it is very clear if you just go to his index as an author. And he's also in our author's featured page. So in one click, you can get to where you want to go. If you have any questions about this prayer treatment or anything on the website or anything about the Institute, please view the header and the footer and the menu, which is very comprehensive. If you've made an effort to find your answer and are unable to do so, please feel free to use the contact form available from the button in the footer and also in the menu in the bottom area. Mary Baker Eddy, in her final class of her metaphysical college in 1898, provided the students, all of which were hand-selected by her, with 7 prayer treatments that she says should be repeated often. Now you take that to mean for whatever you like. She individually stated that she prayed every hour of the day to make sure that she was only thinking about everything in a wholesome manner. That, of course, would include everyone. She also specifically prayed 3 times a day for the benefit of all humanity. These prayer treatments would be ideal as one of the tools that you may want to use for the purposes just noted. The main thing to remember in prayer is to leave out individuality, but only include an impersonal approach to everything you do in your prayer. And of course, the real way to pray is to live it. This prayer treatment will close with the Diapason of Heaven prayer by Mary Baker Eddy with a focus on principle. We must hallow this word principle as a name for God. Declare often, there is only one principle, and this is my infinite, all-present, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-acting, all-loving principle. Principle is my God, and my God is divine principle. Good is my principle, and my principle is good. Divine principle is enthroned in my consciousness as my God. Persons and personal sense are not enthroned. This is the Word of God. Declare all the truths you know about principle. Principle as God must be subjective in your consciousness. Claim this revealed principle as yours and as your subjective thought. This ever-operative, unvarying, enduring, governing, exhaustless, sustaining principle is enthroned. So-called mortal laws are inoperative and unreal. Amen. It is Sunday, September 28th, 2025, at 0951. Thank you for listening to this prayer treatment on principle, motive for all thought, speech, and action. The end.